Today on Real Radio.
The difference, the issue today is the resurrection. We are all going to stand before God. If you're a Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, did you know all roads lead to God? All roads lead to God, but only one road leads to Jesus and salvation. The whole world will stand before God in the end. There will be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. The unjust, those who have rejected. The just, those who have received Jesus' offer.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament book of Acts. We're hearing a presentation that takes us through the first 21 verses of chapter 24. The Apostle Paul was finally brought before the authorities for supposedly disturbing the peace, and the text seems to indicate that it was quite a formal proceeding. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Paul Pleads Guilty.
Don't stay lukewarm if that's where you're at this morning. Don't be fooled. Remember the story about the king's robe? The new king's robe? Jesus went on to say in Revelation chapter 3, he said, you think you're rich? He says, I'm telling you, you're poor. You think you're clothed in wealth? He says, I'm telling you, you're naked. And the king's story where the guys came peddling their goods and they said, hey, we got this great fabric. Only brilliant people can see it, though. Oh, yes, I see it. Well, would you like to have a robe made out of it? Oh, sure. Okay. Remember, only brilliant people can see this great fabric. Okay. So they got these seamstresses. They're doing their work and making this robe. And everybody's been told only brilliant people can see this incredible material. So the king didn't want to look like an idiot. So he's going, oh, that's really coming along well, isn't it? And the people spinning all the thread together is going, oh, yeah, it sure is nice. There's nothing here. Then the great day came for the king to get his new robe. And he gets his new robe and he puts that new robe on. And it's going to ride in his great chariot. And he's out there in front of the kingdom. All the people are there. And the king's going down the street. And everybody's heard about this incredible fabric, man. Only the brilliant, wise, smart people can see it. People who are in the know, they can see it. And everybody's just going, oh, what a robe, man, what a great look. Man, you've never looked so good. And this little five-year-old kid goes, Mommy, why is the king naked? He thought he was clothed. He was fooled. Jesus says, you think you're rich in Revelation 3, 17. You think you're wealthy. He says, you're naked, you're poor, you have nothing. Because you're lukewarm. That's how this audience was that Paul was standing in front of. They were lukewarm at best. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12 that there's a way that seems right to men, mankind, but that way ends in death or an open manhole cover. I'm sure that drunk thought he was going to find his way home, fell into a hole. Where are you going? Home. You sure, huh? Yep. Down he goes. There's a way that seems right to every man, but that way ends in destruction, ends in death. What is Paul guilty of? Paul is guilty of loving these people. That is the problem. Paul is guilty. Verse 10, verses 10 through 16, we'll see here that Paul is guilty. And it's a beautiful kind of guilt to have. Then Paul, after the governor nodded at him to speak, answered. Now listen to his pitch versus Tertullius' pitch. Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge in this nation, that is true, 8 years Felix had been a judge, I do more cheerfully answer for myself. Just right to it. You've been a judge for 8 years, that's great. I'm going to speak for myself. I'm not going to hire some guy over here. I'll do my own talking, thank you. By the way, listen, Paul is being led by God to do this. I want to say this to you and then get going. If you're a Christian this morning, be careful about defending yourself. Don't make too big of a deal out of it. Let God defend you. You trust God, let him defend you. Yeah, but Jack, you know what they're saying? I don't care what they're saying. I'm telling you right now from experience, let it fly over your head. But Jack, I'm gonna launch a smear camp. Let it go. Let it go. You know who's going to get hurt the most? If you take it up and run with it, you will. God does not delight in his kids running around trying to defend themselves. He delights in defending you. That's a serious thing. Yeah, but what about, hey, let God deal with it. Jesus says, when you're accused of being wrong, take it well. When I tell you from experience, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, Jesus tells us, or Paul tells us, what we ought to do when we're accused and attacked. He says, bless your enemy. Oh, yeah, right. That's true. Bless them for their sake? No. Read the word carefully. Meditate on it thoughtfully. Bless them because it frees you up and gives you power. Go home and try it and see if that's not true. You will be freed. You know how you get up in the morning, you're thinking, oh man, that Paul, he makes me sick. I'm going to take him to Felix and have him hung. You want to be free? Listen, I guarantee you people, and there's people in this church that can say, you know what? He's saying the truth. Even if Paul hangs and dies, your heart is still caught in bondage in that situation. Let it go. Ask God. Tell him, be honest. God, I can't stand that guy. So, Lord, give me love for him. Supernaturally do it. Cause me to bless him. And you will be so liberated, it'll blow your mind. Paul is being attacked by these guys. Before we go deeper into Paul's statements for himself, who does Tertullius remind you of? He's accusing Paul wrongfully. John told us in Revelation 12:10 that Satan stands before God in heaven and accuses the brothers and sisters day and night. That's us. Satan does that. When you blow it, you know who's the first to know? Satan. Some little guy that might be running alongside your car or over by you or wherever. Hey, oh, did you see what he did? Hey, Lucifer. You can see him tugging on God's robe. Hey, God, you know what Jack just did? Revelation 12, he accuses the brethren day and night, day and night. Do you have any kids? Little, they're close to the same age? Mommy, did you see what she did? That's none of your business. But she did it. That's none of your business. Well, look at him. Hey, that's none of your business. And it's just like, hey, it's none of your business. Satan's just, look what they did. Look what Jack, look at John. Look what Betty's doing. Day and night. Accusing us. That's who Tertullius reminds me of. But not only that, as I thought about this, this is what the world is like, too. The world is coming after us. Jesus says in John's Gospel, don't be upset if the world hates you. They hated me first. The world. Have you noticed we're on this big political correct thing? I went and bought a book about being politically correct and the phrases. I got to bring it sometime and share it with you. Those of us who are, you know, fighting the bulge, you know what we are? We are horizontally challenged. Hi, I'm like to join your club. I'm horizontally challenged. I mean, it goes on and on. And the world now is, we're tolerant. Isn't that what they're saying? We're tolerant. We're tolerant. We're so big now. We've grown up. We're tolerant. We can handle anything. Lay it on us. We can take it. I'm a Christian. Don't say that. Don't say that. I believe in God. No! Isn't it funny? We're so tolerant. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead. He's coming back. Somebody arrest this guy. We can tolerate everything. And you see, that's exactly what's happening in the Bible in your lap 2,000 years ago is what's happening today. Why? It's a spiritual thing. And it's going to go on, people. It's going to continue. Where does attacks like this take place? Not only in this courtroom. I don't know how you are, but 1 John 3:20 says, if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. You know where else this kind of attack takes place? In my head, in my heart. Not only is the devil against me, not only is the world against me, but I'm against me. Isn't that weird? I want to do what's right, and my body wants to do something else. There's a war on the inside. I want to follow Christ, and my body wants to sleep in or play ping pong or whatever. It's weird. But Tertullius is so much like the enemy who's against us. Listen to this. Verse 14 and 15 is really the thrust of this entire section before us. Paul says, I am guilty. I confess. It's true. I confess to you, Felix, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, I have hope in God. That's what he's guilty of. Paul, are you guilty? I'm guilty. The word confess here is ek homologeo, or it is to homologeo, to speak the same word. Yes, you know what? I'm going to tell you something, and God would hold me accountable, and this is the truth. I am guilty of the way. I'm guilty of being a Christian. It's exactly what he's saying. And I am also guilty of worshiping. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? The lyric in that song. When we were worshiping the Lord this morning, when we now have our Bibles open, are we guilty of being arrested? Is there enough evidence to arrest us for being a Christian? Paul says, man, I'm busted. You got me. Yeah, I'm guilty. He's guilty of worshiping. He says, I confess, I worship the God of our fathers. Well, that's the audience that was around him, the God of the Old Testament. He says, you know what? I'll go on to say that I confess that I'm guilty of believing in all of the scriptures, the Bible. Paul says, man, I believe in the Old Testament. The new hadn't been written yet. I believe in it. Can you imagine? Paul is so dumb. He missed the whole thing. Poor him and Jesus, they missed the whole deal because the Claremont School of Theology. Right over here, our neighbors almost, they got their record straight now, you know. You can buy their Bible, don't you dare. Give them a dime. You can buy their Bible. And they've done 8 years of research, and they'll tell you what Jesus really said. And the words that they know he really said are written in red. The ones that they don't know he really said, they put in pink. And the words that they know for a fact, they left black. Okay? Liberals. The same guys that the Bible said will come in the last days before Jesus shows up on the scene again. They're fulfilling Scripture. Well, guess what? They go on their seminars and their tours and they take up offerings and they ask you to support them in their great work. Well, guess what verse is the only verse written in red? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't that convenient? Now, I'd like to go in there and do a little switcheroo and put in there where it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you guys. But you didn't hear that here. And that. Can you believe that? Poor. And they say, well, those things really didn't happen. Jonah, that didn't happen. Well, you know what? Poor Jesus. Because Jesus said that the story about Noah is an actual fact. Isn't it interesting that the things that Jesus attested to were the most criticized, most radical events in the Bible, Jesus says they were true. I'll give you a few just for you to consider. Jesus said that Sodom and Gomorrah are real cities. Time magazine says they're not. Jesus said that Adam and Eve were really created in the Garden of Eden. Jesus said that Noah built a ship. Jesus said that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Jesus said that Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. Jesus also said, you kill me, 3 days later I'll rise from the dead. Now, am I going to believe some guys who sit in their office or one who says, I tell you what, 3 days later I'll rise from the dead? I know I've said a lot of radical things, but in 3 days, I think all the dust will settle. And 3 days later, the Roman government had guards standing outside the tomb with the seal of Rome on it, and the issue was given, don't let anybody near the tomb because we don't want anybody to steal his body. There could be a great conspiracy. Okay. And the Roman entourage is there, armed to the teeth, And what happens on Sunday morning? They get blown over because Jesus rises from the dead. Well, I don't know if I believe that. That's your choice. That's your choice. But listen, I want to ask you something. What do you think about gambling? There are some people that think it's no problem to go down and gamble in Vegas or whatever, the Laughlin or whatever. Oh, yeah, I can do that. Somebody will ask me after service, maybe I'll cut you off at the pass, can Christians gamble? The answer is no, they can't, and I'll give you the answer why. Because Christians don't own anything. What? Yeah, read your Bible. Everything that we have has been given to us by God. It's His. Your life, your family, your home, your job, your children, the Bible says it's His. So can we go and listen, I'll make you feel better. You know when you go to Las Vegas and you see the incredible lights at night, you almost have to wear your sunglasses driving down the street? Jack, how do you know you've been there? Yes. On the way to Utah, there's no better place to get gas and prime rib for like $2. If you're hungry or you need gas, go to Vegas. But keep going. Why? Who pays the light bill in Las Vegas? Answer, the losers do. Don't they? Don't the losers pay? What are you guys? Everybody's like upset with me. Did all the gamblers come to second service this morning? The losers pay the light bill. Is that not true? Now, you might say, well, hey, wait a minute. Wait, no, the Bible says God owns you and all that you have. While the rest of the church is tithing money to feed the homeless and keep the widows in their house and their power on during the winter and everything else, imagine us going up to God and saying, God, excuse me, I know the homeless and the helpless and the... But can I go flush $20 down that one-armed bandit? Think about it. You go, man, I'm going to write you after this. You go ahead. And we could get into a real thing over this. But how silly and stupid for people to live their life thinking, it's all mine. I live, I bought, I live my life the way I want to, it's my world. And God says, hey, don't gamble. Give me your life, I gave it to you. Give it back and you'll find life. But people will put money into a little machine and they'll lose some money, but at the end, if you have never come to faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus says you are either for me or you're against me. Don't gamble. Well, I'll just wait to see how it comes out in the end. You can't do that. Now's the time. But many people are gambling. And let's say this, and we'll wrap this up and close it. Let's say this. Let's say that Jesus is wrong, that the Bible is wrong, this message today is wrong. It's all wrong. And it doesn't pan out to be true. You can say, hey, see, I told you. Yeah, well, what we can say is, we still led a pretty neat life. We had peace. We were faithful to our spouses. We raised our kids in the Lord. They've got comfort. And you're a man or a woman of integrity. Why? Because the Bible's had power in your life. Let's just pretend it's not real, though, okay? So we come to the end and we die, and we've lived a peaceful life. Nobody loses, nobody wins. It's annihilation. It's over. What if Jesus is right? What if the Bible's right? And we come to the end of the ride, and you're wrong. That's gamble. That's a serious thing. These men are gambling that Paul's wrong, and they're fighting against it all. He says in verse 15, I have the hope of God, and that they themselves also accept that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. Skip down to verse 20 and 21, because this is the bulk of the matter. He says, or else those who are hear themselves say, if they found anything wrong or any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council, unless it is for this one statement. And this is the whole point of the message, really. Paul is guilty for crying out concerning the resurrection of the dead. He says, I'm being judged before you this day. That's the reason. The difference, the issue today is the resurrection. We are all going to stand before God. If you're a Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, did you know all roads lead to God? All roads lead to God, but only one road leads to Jesus and salvation. The whole world will stand before God in the end. There will be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. The unjust, those who have rejected. The just, those who have received Jesus' offer. Isn't that serious? It's serious. It's wonderful that it's that simple, but it's serious because it takes a decision on your part. We will die, people. And the Bible says it's appointed unto every man once to die, and then it's too late. It's judgment. Well, listen to this. Daphne Banks, she's 61 years old. She's a farmer's wife. She's recovering in a hospital in Britain after being pronounced dead and taken into a mortuary. Undertakers took Mrs. Banks, 61, to a hospital in Huntington, East England, in the early hours of New Year's Day after she was declared dead in her home by her physician. Hospital spokeswoman Margaret Markey said the mortuary workers were about to put her into a deep freeze refrigerator when they noticed the signs of life and called a doctor. Banks was found breathing, and after given intensive care, she is now recovering well. Markey said, resurrection came as a shock to us all, but obviously we are intrigued by it. And we're very glad for Mrs. Banks. Not as glad as Mrs. Banks is glad. Here's another one. We'll end with this. Paris, France. A Frenchman comes back from the dead, is the headlines. Twice listed as dead by French officials, said he was getting fed up with trying to explain to them that he was still alive. So far, I've died twice. Maurice Georges, 76-year-old French television interviewed, asked him, expressing frustration with the official errors. The main thing is that I'm alive, he says. In 1966, I applied in the local authorities for a birth certificate to obtain for an inheritance that I was to receive. They contacted me and told me that I had died in 1965, the year earlier. After a legal battle to come back from the dead, I applied again for my birth certificate, but they responded to me saying it was impossible to issue you a birth certificate seeing how you died in 1988. This poor guy's trying to convince his own country he's alive. He's called him up. You're dead. We're not talking to you. Isn't that amazing? Listen, the scriptures declare to us that we are dead while we yet live outside of Christ. We're dead. Jesus says, I'll give you everlasting life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called Paul Pleads Guilty, a look at the first 21 verses of Acts chapter 24, where Paul has to appear before the authorities for disrupting things. Join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, where we'll continue in our journey through this New Testament narrative. Recently we had here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference, and if you were unable to attend, or even if you did and you want to hear the information again, you can now obtain CDs or DVDs of the event, or both, either in part or in their entirety. You can order whatever you like. Visit us at realradioactive.org. And after a little pointing and clicking, you'll know just what to do. realradioactive.org. Or you can correspond with us the traditional way. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you need to get in touch for any other reason, give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.